Hello, and welcome to the Weekly Comic Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo.
And I'm Bob Retall. In this episode, we'll be discussing recently released comics. One from DC, one from Marvel, and at least one other. As always, we'll keep major spoilers to a minimum, but we'll discuss general plot points and storylines of the comics we review.
This is Weekly Comic Spotlight 112 for comics originally released on September 30th, 2009. Starting us off in DC is Last Days of Animal Man number 5. Now, when this was first solicited, Bob, this is when I was cutting back, so it was one that, you know, I really questioned if they needed to do, like, a future, you know, end tale for Animal Man, and didn't get it on that basis at the time, but, you know, once I got a job and had a lot more money to spend, I went ahead and picked it up, and this is really a lot better than, I almost want to say it has any right to be, you know what I mean? I'm really enjoying this. It's good art, good story, and a really good kind of end tale for Animal Man.
I love it, and I just kind of like looking at it. When I first saw it come out, I was like, you know, a lot of the more veteran writers, when you haven't seen them for a while and they come back, in a couple of cases, you know, it's kind of like, well, maybe they shouldn't have come back. And I was kind of on the fence on that respect. Does Jerry Conway still have his chops? But, boy, let me try out the first issue. When I got the first issue, I was like, wow, that was really good. And this book is near the top of my stack every time it comes out. It's been an excellent series. And, you know, part of the premise is near the end of his career, he's starting to lose his connection to the morphogenetic field, and he's thus losing his powers. And they've been going through the stages of grief or mourning or whatever on each one. And this is part 5. So it's accept. And he's kind of accepting his loss. And, it's this, like, I think you're right. I mean, this has been a really great series. I'm totally glad I'm getting it. Anyone who's not been reading it, you can probably still find the issues. Otherwise I'm sure a trade paperback will be coming out at some point. It's definitely worth getting the trade paperback. Very good art, very good story.
Well, and particularly if you liked kind of the early years of the Animal Man series back in the day, this is very much along those lines. They make great use of his family as his supporting cast, and I like how it's a very character-based story about, again, a retiring hero who's kind of getting forced into retirement because his powers are fading, not so much because he wants to retire. And, I mean, ultimately, this is going to be probably an alternate future that doesn't really matter, but it's just a really great story. I loved the Green Lantern they have in this book in the previous issues was a lot of fun. I mean, no doubt in a couple of years this may feel a little dated so far as where it's anchored in the DC universe, you know, that the alternate future stems from or whatever, but I think it'll stand up very well over time in terms of just the quality of the story and the art.
Definitely.
Yeah, there are a couple of places I could nitpick on the art or, you know, a few things like that. But, you know, overall, it's just really great stuff. I'm really curious about the foreshadowing stuff they kind of did at the end of the issue with that one scene and kind of where they're going with that, because I'm expecting that to kind of pay off big time next issue. And again, I like how they actually kind of plant some seeds and have them play out over the course of the story versus things just coming out of nowhere. So this is one that I suspect a lot of people have kind of ignored and shouldn't have.
Yeah, I give this a 5 out of 5. I am loving this book. It's, like I said, near the top of my stack each time it comes out.
I gave it a 4 out of 5. Again, there were a couple of things with the art that I felt were really good, but not, you know, perfect or whatever. But it's a strong 4. So.
And next up, we've got the Sinister Spider-Man, or Dark Reign, the Sinister Spider-Man, number 4 of 4. One of the Dark Reign tie-in series. I tried a lot of the first issues of the Dark Reign miniseries out when they came out. They're $3.99 for a standard length comic. The first issues were all, for the most part, heavily discounted, and so it wasn't that much of a risk, and I did not follow through on most of them. I followed through on Dark Reign Electra, which we've talked about on the show. That was a very good series. I followed through on this one. What it actually seemed like is the minis that had not Z-list characters and actual creators that are, have some kind of a reputation as opposed to Amateur Hour. Those are the ones, surprise, surprise, that I stuck with. And this one, Brian Reed is writing it. Chris Bachalo is doing the art. So, it had that going for it. And it was the same thing with the Elektra one. It was an established character and it had a good creative team. Zeb Wells was writing that one. This has been, it's certainly, it's kind of, tongue-in-cheek kind of fun, but it's got Jonah Jameson, it's got Matt Gargan as Venom slash the Spider-Man who's in Norman Osborn's Avengers, and I just thought it was a kind of a fun story to go through. I was entertained by it.
So what kind of a rating would you give it?
I'd give it a 4.
Really, I'm gonna be on the other side of the fence on this one. First off, I was not crazy about the art style. It's not bad art, it's just not a style I really like. There are a
Yeah,
couple of
I
places.
can see that. It's Bachalo's got a lately he's got kind of a stylized form, and you either like it or you don't.
Yeah, well, I fall on the don't. It was caricaturish in places. It was dark. Maybe it was just heavily inked in a few places. It wasn't working for me there. I thought the story was okay at best, but the whole concept of J. Jonah Jameson teaming up with the Dark Avengers Spider-Man, or any Spider-Man, but particularly the Dark Avengers one, was just really hard to buy. He goes for so long bashing Spider-Man or anything resembling Spider-Man. Even is still doing that, as mayor of New York City in the Amazing Spider-Man book, where he's got, people in high-tech suits hunting Spider-Man, 24 hours a day or whatever. So having this happen concurrently with that just didn't jive for me. And talk about, I mean, you were saying how the ones starring Z-list characters didn't hold your attention. I totally understand that, no problem with that. For me, this was a book starring an X, Y, and Z character. I mean, you've got, because I was trying to write down, some notes for this, and the fight scene between Daken, the Dark Avenger Wolverine, Bullseye, the Dark Avenger Hawkeye, and this Spider-Man, and I had to write it down as the Mac Gargan's parentheses Scorpion Venom style Spider-Man, because I mean, to me, this character is an X, Y, and Z, list guy. As Mac Gargan, he's a
We can,
nobody.
yeah. I
As Scorpion,
I
he was
would
a runner
disagree
at
with you on
times.
that, but it's just a personal opinion. I mean, Scorpion's been around since,
Since the early days, I will
Spider-Man
grant
in
you
the
that.
teens, and Venom's been around since Spider-Man 300.
I'm not saying he's a new guy, and certainly not out of nowhere like most of the others. I'll grant you that. But it's just such a blatantly retooled character that's got a very serious identity crisis going on right now. That I had some issues with that. But also, the fight scene they had just did not work for me. I mean, corn dogs on a stick as weapons? Give me a break. A poodle? Come on. It was ludicrous to the point of being lame.
It was a funny series, and I thought it was pretty funny when the Bullseye threw a poodle into a Venom's eye, but it struck me as funny.
Struck me as lame.
It's not meant to be and this is just like when we had violent disagreements on Marvel Apes. I found Marvel Apes to be
True, true.
much
And I'm
like
not
much
saying
the
you're
opinion
wrong.
that you're having about this book I had about Marvel Apes.
Yeah.
There it worked for you in Marvel Apes, it didn't work for me in this one. We're
Again,
on the
different
opposite
tastes for
side.
different people. I'm fine with that. I just thought that the ending of this was really weak, just in general. And, you know, it didn't make a lot of sense. They were trying to build this character up as actually being, I don't know, maybe sinister in some respect, yet for an over-the-top farcical kind of a book, that seems, again, ludicrous. You know, I can see where you and other people would enjoy this, but for me, it fell flat on multiple levels, and I gave it a rating of a 2. So I was gonna say I was disappointed, but really I wasn't. I mean, I was not expecting a whole lot out of most of the Dark Reign stuff. These miniseries they're doing. Again, I grant you, this is at least one that's got one of the most named characters out of the bunch. Compared to, say, Zodiac and some of these others that are coming out of nowhere. But this is a book that I don't feel they had to produce. But, I mean, half the Marvel lineup and DC lineup, for that matter, falls into that category these days.
Well, I can agree with you on that.
Okay, that brings us to our other book of the week. That's Bomb Queen, Volume 6, Number 1 from Image Comics. And I had really mixed feelings on this. This was one where it was so clear they were trying to cash in on, you know, President Obama's popularity as a comic book character that it was just, you know, I'm getting to where I find that frustrating. It's like, come on, just tell a good story. He's been in far too many comics, and it just seems like a cash grab, which in some cases works, in some cases doesn't.
Yeah,
And
at least I thought that the use of him in this book was a little more in line with the story than most of the other places that you've seen Obama crammed into comics. I mean, they at least worked him into a valid plot point that you've got Newport City that, you know, has got the crime and everything, and you know, he's as president, you know, stepping in to do something about it. Whereas a lot of these other things that have Obama, it's just like, yeah, let's just throw him in there.
I mean, he didn't need to be in the book, but he fit fine in there. The same story could have been told with a fake president without really changing the story at all, but didn't hurt to have him in. And, you know, I was okay with that. And you're right. In a lot of other places, it's completely pointless, completely gratuitous, and usually doesn't fit all that well. So, I mean, I'll grant them that. The part that really bothered me here was the story was too reflexive in places in terms of, you know, Obama stating how Newport City is an embarrassment to the country, the world, and the comic book industry. And that
Well,
makes
yeah,
so
they have a
much.
lot of winking, breaking the fourth wall kind of stuff like that.
Yeah, and way too much of it. And that isn't stuff that had really been in the Bomb Queen series as annoyingly in the past. I mean, I think it was probably there too, but it bothered me in this issue. It was taking me out of the story.
I haven't read a lot of Bomb Queen in the past, so I'm not really sure. You know, I read, I think, the first series. And a bunch of the middle series I have not read. So, I mean, I'm familiar with the character and kind of the general thing. And one maybe a good thing about Bomb Queen is it's not a particularly deep series. So I was able to pick up and read this story without having a whole lot of context on the character and not feel like I'm missing anything particularly.
Well, I've read all the other Bomb Queen stuff. It's been a few months since I've done some of that, so I don't have it, you know, crystal clear in my mind at the moment. And, you know, I don't recall when I was reading those thinking, wow, this is too reflexive, this is taking me out of the story. And the other thing in this issue, there were a couple places where it got kind of gory. And certainly there's violence and has been in the whole thing, but to me there's a big difference between violence and gore. You know, it's one thing to go punch somebody, you know, in a comic book. It's another thing to see, you know, their brains exploding or what have you. And I thought this kind of crossed the line there on a couple of places. And I didn't feel that this was kind of as, I almost will say, clever as some of the previous miniseries. Certainly, I think this storyline was a logical follow-through of the series of miniseries for Bomb Queen. You know, you've got this city which is a, you know, got crime zones and just like a They refer to it as like an open prison, which is a pretty apt description. So having the government come in and say, hey, we got to shut this down, that makes sense. There was a lot of media coverage on the political aspects of the story and stuff like that. And some of that I liked. Some of that, I think, you know, the names they gave some of the characters and some of what they did there was a little, I don't want to say lame, but Wolf Blitzer and stuff like that. It's like, oh, gee, that's clever.
Well, I didn't see the need for that one in particular. I mean, because you're having Barack Obama, you can't call him Wolf Blitzer. He's a public figure.
You know, but some of the comments they were making on, you know, the political aspects and stuff like that, I thought were, you know, good. And just kind of the whole end scene where they're doing the live conference between, you know, the president and Bomb Queen, some of that was, you know, entertaining and clever and stuff. I mean, overall, I liked a lot of this. It shows a lot of potential, but there were just too many references to the comic book stuff that were unimaginative, uninsightful, and distracting. That really, I think it this way, it could go either way. It could either come out to be a really great miniseries, or it could be one where they just, you know, take the easy route and it, you know, fails to entertain me as much as it could.
I didn't have anywhere near as high of expectations going into it as you did. I mean, I'm probably going to come out somewhere around the same on rating, but you know how we got there is maybe different. I just like it's a fun series. I mean, I don't expect high art out of Bomb Queen. It's
Well,
like
I wasn't either.
it's.
I was just annoyed by how they took, you know, again, cheap shots at the comic industry every chance they got.
Well, I mean, I think Jimmy Robinson's got a history of doing that, though. Both in his comics and on internet boards and other places. That's just who he is.
I understand that. I just thought, you know, having read all the other Bomb Queen stuff, he took it to new depths in this issue.
Okay. Well,
And
again,
at the,
given that
I thought
I
this.
haven't read it, the other Bomb Queen stuff,
Fair
it's
enough.
not something that jumped out at me. You know, it's like, you know, kind of violent. You got Bomb Queen running around nearly naked most of the time and actually naked when she's not nearly naked. And I mean, that's kind of the point of this thing. To me, this comic is a comic version of a Michael Bay movie. You know, there's not like the nudity in a Michael Bay movie, but you kind of get my analogy here. It's just like it's there for the action and the shock and the bigness and all that kind of stuff. And this is just like, you know, she goes around, she's violent, she blows stuff up, she's shocking, and she waves her boobs around a lot. I mean, that's to me the purpose of this character. And, you know, so that's what was comic.
And I see that. I just thought some of the previous stuff had had a bit more depth in it in places. Certainly, it's got all that other stuff too, don't get me wrong. But, you know, when
But
you get characters like Editor Girl, you know, that I think is a clever character.
I actually like the editor girl character, so
So, I mean,
that was a clever character.
they've built up a good group of characters. D Rail, who we see ever so briefly in this issue, I thought was another really interesting, you know, clever character. And these are not, you know, just, you know, okay, this is an analog of some existing superhero over at Marvel or DC or something. So there are a lot of places where in the series of miniseries they've done some interesting and intriguing and unique stuff. So when you've got the president saying, oh, this city's an embarrassment to the comic book industry, you know, to me, that seems out of character for the president to say that and completely pointless. It's like, you know, if you want to put that in somewhere else or whatever, or in, you know, whatever. So.
So the journey was different. I'm guessing we'll be at the same destination. I gave it a 3.
Yeah, you're right. I gave it a 3. Again, it's not a bad comic. It's, you know, I've enjoyed the run of the Bomb Queen stuff. And they made better use of the president here than a lot of places. But this is one where I keep seeing the potential of it being more than it is. And I felt this one really missed the mark on that further than, you know, any of the previous Bomb Queen ones. We shall see where it goes from here.
Okay. So, you haven't had a chance to read much else, I would imagine.
I'm trying to scan through my list if I've read really anything else.
I've been keeping current on Spider-Man.
I've been trying to. I don't think I've read this issue. I read Blackest Night Titans, and I have not read Green Lantern yet. Again, we've been
I read both of those. Yeah. I read both the Blackest Night titles. Those are always kind of top of the stack for me. And I also read the Spider-Man. I also enjoy that quite a lot.
Yeah. So, anything else? Does that pretty much do it?
I think that does it for me.
Cool.
Join us next week when we discuss the mighty number 9 from DC, Dr. Voodoo, Avenger of the Supernatural number 1 from Marvel, and Haunt number 1 from Image Comics.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.